As I was looking at all the things that are going on in the news and the things that are going on in the world today, I was trying to just get away from all that and shake the dust from my feet and say, Lord, what do you want me to talk about this week? What is your word to be shared? There's always things you can get up and just stand and talk about the Lord about. But I always try to find out, to go to the extra work to say, what are you saying for now, for such a time as this? That's what I want to hear. Because we can never have enough to talk about the Lord. We can go through the Bible and spend a lot of time. You'll probably wonder why I'm picking this subject, but I believe you'll see before I get done speaking why the Lord asked me to share it. And I titled it simply, Sin. You're probably saying, okay, we've heard enough about sin, you know, everybody that's been around the Lord, even people that don't know the Lord have heard about the sin, and they use it in all kinds of inappropriate ways. But let's take a look at it from a biblical perspective. In Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need Jesus Christ, amen? We don't need to talk about sin because we've already heard so much about it, right? So we can forget about it. It just means we're being bad, right? And it's my business, not somebody else's, so why do I need to talk about sin? It's none of your business about my sin, right? Wrong. The dictionary says that sin is an immoral act, and it's considered to be a transgression against divine laws. That's the dictionary. But do you realize that any sin is against God? It isn't the little ones, the big ones, or if you do this one or that one. When you're sinning, you're transgressing against God. It causes us to have a breach in our relationship with God. And relationship is the very thing that God desires to have with us. So the last thing he wants us to do is break off the relationship. But that's what we're doing when we're sinning. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Because God has to separate himself from sin. And so when we sin, we're causing it a separation between us and God. Your sins hurt God, believe it or not. Do sins hurt God? Yes, they do. They hurt God because it causes separation. It doesn't hurt in the way that we think traditional hurt. Think about it with a little different perspective. Okay? We think about hurt in one way. God is hurt in another way in that he is disappointed. And he's concerned. Because his love is so great for you, his concern is so great for you. And so when you separate from him, it really bothers him. He does not like it. It hurts. It hurts your relationship with others. Because over time, people are going to figure you out, and it's going to show a lack of integrity. You might fool them for a while, but people will figure you out. The separation hurts you because God will no longer hear you. Because he and sin can't be in the same place. It is against God's nature to ignore and accept sin. Therefore, when we sin, it affects our relationship with him. Because God spoke truth to us. He told us about the blessings and he told us about the consequences. Blessings when we respond to him the way we're supposed to, the consequences when we don't. And since God is not a liar, God now, because of his own word, is accountable for saying, I can't honor that. You're not honoring me, you're disrespecting me. There are consequences for that. Psalm 5, verses 4 and 5. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. When we get a little too full of ourselves and we get arrogant, that's not what God wants. He wants our humility. God cares about our attitude when we assemble. When we get together, whether it's Wednesday night, whether it's Sunday morning, whether other opportunities where we get together, God cares about when we assemble. Isaiah 1:13 puts it this way: bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of the assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. I'll repeat that. I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Now, he was talking about what was going on with the Israelis at that time, but the truth still stands today. If you come in here and you're being a phony baloney and your heart isn't where it should be, God does not find that acceptable. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's really that simple. He does not, and he, it says he will not and he cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. We should be coming here with integrity, sincerely giving all of our attention to the Lord, regardless of who's talking about it, who's singing about it, or even what's going on when you're getting together for coffee and donuts or whatever. He wants integrity in us. He expects integrity in us. Holiness is a sham if it isn't backed up by righteous conduct. Holiness is a sham if it isn't backed up by righteous conduct. How many times have we heard stories about some preacher that acted one way, but when he thought nobody was looking, he showed what a phony baloney he was. Where somebody comes in and acts all self-righteous at church and all holy, and then when they get out at work or around where they think they're away from the people that normally know them, then the real them comes out. That's a sham, and God will not stand for that. You want us to be able to move forward and see good things happen? We need to walk forward in integrity with the Lord and with one another. God wants nothing to do with it if we aren't getting together with right conduct and right attitudes. Okay? That might sound a little harsh, but I'm just giving you the word of God. God wants nothing to do with it if we aren't getting together with right conduct and right attitudes. He will not accept that. We think that we can take the easy way out on a lot of stuff. And you may get away with this and you may get away with that. But when you're getting together for the Lord, you won't get away with it. There are sins of commission, where you take an action to commit, whether in thought or in word or in deed. And for example, it's like when Eve intentionally took the fruit from the tree in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. She intentionally did it even though she knew it was wrong. And I would venture to say at some point in her life, every single person that I'm talking to right now, including me, at some point in time, intentionally did something, even though we knew it was wrong. Whether it's something small in some people's eyes or something big, we did something we knew better, and we did it anyway. That's a sin of commission. It's like, for example, when you choose to gossip when you know it's only stirring things up. That's a sin of commission. when people are walking around backbiting, and it happens, or they're gossiping, or did you know, and all that stuff. According to God, that's a sin of commission. So you need to think about some of the things that you're saying. That's an example that came to me right away. Because it is a sin. There are sins of omission. That's when we knew we should have done something good, but we refused to do it. It's like when you should have spoken to someone and felt uncomfortable, so you chose not to. And we've probably all done that. I know I have. Lord said, you need to go speak somebody some truth to this person. Lord, I'm a little uncomfortable with that. I'm standing here in a grocery store or wherever. I want you to go speak that. Well, not today. That's a sin. Because I was disobedient to God. It's a sin of omission. In James 4, chapter 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. When you know better and you make the wrong decision anyway, it is sin. We like to, you know, soften things up anymore, and we don't want to just get too strict about this stuff. You know, it's kind of a mistake, or I'll do better next time. That's not what God said. God said it's a sin. Now, can you repent of it and next time do better? Of course you can. That's what repentance is about. If you're repenting from your heart and not repenting just because you feel guilty or because you got caught, it has to actually be repentance from your heart. When we look around and we see the disrespect there is for authority, and even for the families and their homes, I can hardly believe the lawlessness and shameful behavior. It is lawlessness and shameful behavior. Now we're hearing about it with the Supreme Court judges and their families. Their wives are home with their kids, have nothing to do with what's going on, and people are out there attacking them. And their neighbors, they're even attacking their neighbors. During all the COVID stuff, all the riots and all the carrying on and all the stuff that took place, you think that wasn't sin and lawlessness? It was. People can try to cover it up with, well, we're just getting even, or blah, 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 or anything else you want, or you can have the vice president saying, I'll even give bail money out to get some of these people out of jail. They're wrong. They're supporting sin. I'm not talking about political parties. I'm talking about personal choices, okay? I'm not into the party thing. I'm an independent. But I'm talking about choices that people are making. 1 John 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Do you understand that as this country continues to get worse with its lawlessness, that we have to answer to God for that because we're allowing sin? I'm not saying you have to like me. I'm not saying you have to agree with me. I'm just quoting the Word of God. If you got a problem with that, take it up with God. Because the fact of the matter is, he will not honor it. In fact, there will be a price to be paid. If you don't believe it, go through the Old Testament. His own chosen people, out of all the people on the earth, his own chosen people, when he had enough of their lawlessness and their bad behavior, they paid some really high prices. What happened to those people was really brutal. Because God just stepped out of the way and said, if that's the kind of people you want to be, this is what you're going to have. Do we really want that in this country? There's also another sin that I'd like to talk about, and it's a sin of disposition. It's when you have bad feelings towards one another. It's bitterness, hate, ungodly feelings that are harbored in us. And instead of giving it to God and saying, God, I'm having some problems with this individual. I need your help. Because right now, you know, I want to bless him with a brick. But that's not the right thing to do. God, show me how to repent of my behavior and show me how to show them that I can be like Christ in the flesh. Sometimes that's not easy to do because people can put you to the test. But when we choose, and it is a choice, you say, I can't help it. When I see that person coming, I already start getting tight before they even get to me. Before they even open their mouth, I already just start to tighten up. I've known people like that. But we're making a choice. We always say, well, I can't help it, or God made me this way, and I can't help my feelings. That's baloney. God made us in the likeness of him. And then when we're born into a world of sin. And some of the sins of previous generations come on to us. And then sometimes we make our own choices that add to that. And when somebody says, well, I can't help it if I'm this kind of a person. Yes, you can. Because when you said, receive Jesus Christ, the old passed away. And you're supposed to be new in Christ. And if there's anything left, you're to die to it daily so that more of Christ can live in you. So that other stuff is just excuses. Might sound kind of hard. I'm just saying. It is sin when we allow ourselves to be deliberate and purposeful in our violation of the will of God. The will of God is that we would love one another and we would treat each other with respect. When we're violating that, when we're attacking each other, most people today, it's usually not face-to-face, it's behind your back, unfortunately. It's degraded to that point. You're going against the will of God. That's sin. We allow pride, we allow greed, lust, envy, gluttony. And gluttony can be food, but it can also be gluttony for money or for other things. Wrath, or being slothful, just slow and lazy to infect our judgment. We allow those things. They become a comfortable habit. It's a place for me to hide. Hell is separation from God. So why would we want to allow sin to separate us from God when we don't have to? The whole idea of being born again is so we don't have to go to hell and be separated from God. So choosing to walk in sin and then separating from God just does not make any sense at all, if you look at it from that perspective. We think that we can hide it. Some sins are private, and some sins are public. But the truth is that they all affect the one who sinned. Besides the physical consequences that often come as a result of sin, sin puts the soul of the sinner in jeopardy. It puts the soul of the sinner in jeopardy because God knows that you sinned. So you're risking your very soul when you separate yourself from God. And believe it or not, there can be physical and mental and emotional damage that can be done because of your sin. People get so caught up in their bitterness and stuff. I've seen people that actually have gotten sick and had terrible things happen because of all the junk that was inside them. I'm not making that up. Proverbs 13, verse 15. Good understanding gains favor. But the way of the unfaithful is hard. Remember I said blessings and consequences? This is another way to put it. Proverbs 13:15, not me, says good understanding gains favor with the Lord, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. And sin does affect the one that we have sinned against. It affects us and it affects the other person. Because hurt causes misunderstanding, causes damage. Sin spreads out and is an ugly cancer that affects so many different things. Ourself, the ones we sinned against, our relationship with God, our very future and our health. Proverbs 18, verse 19. Proverbs 18, 19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. Some of the different places that I've worked at, I've heard them talk about Christians. And they were treated worse by some of the Christians than they were by some of the other people that they were going to the bar with or playing cards with or doing whatever else. It ruins your witness. They don't want to hear about the Lord. That's sin. And it says it's like the bars of a citadel. I have these up and you're not coming anywhere near me. I don't need your kind. We don't need to be doing those kind of things. We should not be. When we sin against the brethren, they close their ears to us, and we can no longer witness to them. In fact, it turns out we can be a stumbling block for them. I've told the story in here before about when I was a young guy and walked up to two pastors, and they got so busy caught up in their own stuff that I walked away from them. And it caused me to take several more years before I wound up making a commitment to the Lord. Pastors became a stumbling block in my life. Are you kidding me? They're supposed to be giving me a reason to want to go in and get hungry for the Lord, not be a stumbling block. And it affects the church. People come up with enough reasons of their own to be critical of the church. They don't have any problem coming up with reasons to be critical of the church. But we don't need to contribute to their reasons. They don't need to change from, we heard what some of those people are like, to, I met you, and now that I met you, I know what those people are like. Do you think that would make God happy? I don't. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? You know, we can spend a year trying to witness to somebody, and it seems like they're gaining ground and they want to hear about God and they're wanting to grow. And just that little bit of leaven, and here I thought I could trust you, and now I know I can't. And it just wipes out everything that you did. It spoils the whole dough. Paul cautions us in 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 and 13. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There are some phony baloney churches that are around, unfortunately, and some phony baloney people that are trying to lead them, because they're not doing it for God, they're doing it for themselves and some other purpose. There's a few. Most churches are sincere and want to draw you to Christ. Let us not get caught up in that kind of behavior, but be all that we can be in Christ Jesus. Let us continue to seek God's forgiveness and increase in our desire to follow the will of God. When we have visitors coming here, and even as we're relating with one another, as we've been here for a while, we need to be putting our best foot forward. They're coming into God's house. When somebody's coming in your house, don't you try to put your best foot forward? How much better should it be in the house of the Lord? They shouldn't be coming in here and griping, and groaning, and all the other baloney that goes with that. That wouldn't make me want to come back. God says time and time again how he grieves over our sin. Can you imagine that? God grieves over our sin. He loves us that much. So what I would suggest to you is let's take an honest look at ourselves. All of us, take a look at ourselves and see if there aren't areas that grieve God, and then let's do something about it. Doesn't do you any good unless you do something about it. For different people, that might be different things. For me, it might be one thing. For you, it might be something else. But God wants to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, so that we can see those things. Because he doesn't want us to be like we were when we were walking in the world. He wants us to be like him, to grow in Christ, to walk in love, to honor the Lord, and to honor one another. Not gossiping, not backbiting, not coming in and acting all religious while you're sitting in the pew and then acting totally different when you're somewhere else. He wants integrity. So sin might have sounded like an unusual discussion, but the Lord wants us to take another look at it. Because as we get closer and closer to his return, remember, you're either for him or you're against him. And if you're walking in sin, you're separated from him. So that means you're on the wrong side of the fence. So I'm just asking, can all of us maybe just do a little bit better with each passing day than we did in the days past? Amen? All right. Father God, I thank you that we had this time together. I pray that I honored your word with the way that I presented it, because that was my desire. And I pray, Lord, that all of us, myself included, will pay attention to it. I'm not pointing fingers at everybody else. Every time I get a word from you, I want to know how to apply it in my own life first. If I can't do that, then I'd feel that I don't have the integrity or the right to present it to somebody else. Because we all need to just get a little bit closer to you, Lord. And we thank you that you want relationship and you want us to be closer. But there are things we have to do to get there. So as these sins come to mind, as these bad habits come to mind, the things that we've done in the past, help us to eradicate that. Help us to clean house, do a spring cleaning, so that what we present to you is good and lovely and pure. A place that looks like it's honoring the best guest we've ever had walk into our life and into our house, because that's what you are. And we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.